From Land Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University Beers with the Brewers.
There we go. All right, welcome back to this week's edition of Land Grant University presents Beers with the Brewers. I'm Adam, one of the owners here at Land Grant. This week, another week without a brewer, but back from his travels abroad, we got Marco Polo himself. Back from the east.
Oh yeah, I'm back like a rebel making trouble.
Mark Richards.
Sure you all missed him.
That's Bushwick Bill for you right there.
It was nice and quiet in the office the last 17 days or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You got Walt.
Well, I'm glad I could come back and raise some noise.
Back in the land of Coca-Cola.
Yeah, so given that Mark was, as we mentioned 2 weeks ago, we took the week off. We didn't. With the weather and everything else going on during Red, White, and Boom, we felt it wasn't the best to do a live show. We didn't want to get electrocuted from the lightning storm. So back from the long holiday week, a little odd having that Wednesday Red, White, and Boom Thursday holiday. So we're finally back in the swing of things. Mark is here. So given that he spent some time in the Czech Republic.
Ooh, drinking those Bohemian Pilsners.
Drinking Bohemian Pilsners. We figured we'd talk quite a bit about Bohemian Pilsners today, inspired by the Bohemian Pilsner, our favorite pool party.
Pool party. I've got to tell you, I pissed off Pat Woodward of Pat Pints when I told
him. You
pissed
off Pat's Pints, Pat.
Podcast.
Podcast.
I did, because I told him I think I prefer pool party over Pilsner or Kel.
Who wouldn't?
I stand by it.
So obviously we've talked about...
It's your highly unbiased opinion.
We've talked about pool party.
Absolutely.
And when we had one of the brewers on during that episode, we did talk about this historic style. But now that it's fresh, Mark's fresh off the airplane, let's talk about it.
Well, first of all, we'll talk about pool party. Lime, bready, floral, and crisp, still, and delicious.
Still. Mm-hmm.
5.4 in alcohol. Got those New Zealand hops, Pacifica, Waimea, and Waikato. And it's a six crusher, bar none.
You think Am I wrong? Still a six crusher?
Yeah, will anyone arm wrestle me for that? Yeah, it's a six crusher.
Might need to ask.
I've
crushed more than six this summer.
We should ask this question again.
How crushable is it?
How crushable is it?
I'd say it's still six.
It's a six. Nailed it.
The thing is, you're outside all day, so your session may be longer. You might be able to... You know, if you're at home mowing the lawn, hanging out in the backyard, you might crush more than six in a whole day.
Mm. Whoa. Oh,
easy now.
Good. Easy killer.
I would say the only thing that's changed since we reviewed this beer a couple months ago is that it is now hotter outside.
Ooh,
and so
boy.
Pretty much everything is now more crushable than it was 3 months ago.
Yeah.
As long as it's cold, it's
remember to hydrate.
Pretty crushable this time of year.
While you're crushing your pool party, though.
Oh, yeah.
Being outside.
Yeah, crush responsibly, especially if you're going over six. That's uncharted territory.
Yeah, we've got some more crushers coming up to drink, don't we, Walt?
Yeah, we got some beers coming up. Blackberry Jamble, a summer favorite, will be back. We're going to talk about that this week. We pushed it to next week. So that comes out Friday. So
Friday.
If you're listening to this podcast on release, that's tomorrow, Friday tomorrow. Kin returns. That's the beer we brewed inspired by our friend Nick, who unfortunately passed away last summer. That is a Kolsch-style golden ale with agave nectar and some tropical hops. That's going to release in the that's a taproom exclusive this year. You can only find it at the taproom, either on draft or in six packs. That'll launch Sunday.
And 100% of the proceeds from that goes to the Dick and Jane Project.
Yep.
So anything from that beer is in honor of our friend Nick.
Yeah, Nick was a talented musician, so we've teamed up with the sort of music-focused nonprofit Dick and Jane for the Kin Project again this year. And then we got a couple beers that we haven't announced yet, but like I have no problem announcing them here. Lemon Glow, a hazy pale, with a ton of lemon forward hops. I'm excited about that one. And then we got a special bonus batch of concentrate coming with a double dry hop on it. We're calling it Super Concentrate. That'll be available next week, I think. So, yeah, we didn't release any new beers for a little bit, and now we've got a ton coming your way. So I'll look out for those in the tap room and around town. I'll run through events real quick. Yeah, as I mentioned, Blackberry Jambles out Friday, Ken on Sunday. We're doing like sort of a Ken jam out in the beer garden on Sunday. Stella in the Can is playing in the beer garden tonight. They do some rock and roll covers.
I think they played here before.
Tonight,
right?
Being Thursday, tonight July 11th.
Thursday,
you know,
July 11th.
You never know when people might be downloading the episode.
It's true. And then our movie series is rolling through the summer. The summer hijinks section. We got Can't Hardly Wait was on Wednesday this week. So sorry you missed that. But you can come on out for She's All That on the 17th, next Wednesday, or Wet Hot American Summer on the 24th, the Wednesday after that.
And these are all in July again, in case you're
July.
Listening later.
Yeah.
You missed it if it's August.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this way after the fact, you probably just ignore the events section anyway. But also in July on the 21st, we are hosting the Sustainable Steps launch party. Mayor Ginther's going to be here with our good friends from AEP and Sustainable Columbus and Smart Columbus and Columbus Gas. COSI will be here. They're launching a goal of 30,000 home energy audits by 2020. And so they're kind of kicking off that whole program here. So come on
and
down
these
for
are
that.
Audits with a good audit and actually looking at ways that you can look at some of the more expensive items that might be using a lot of energy, maybe your light bulbs, maybe switch over to LED, or if there are other sorts of saving from insulation. So these are good audits. They're not trying to go out and dock people. They're actually going to try to get you in a better position that you're not wasting energy, but it actually saves you a lot of money. We've talked about that here. We had a very formal audit here at Land Grant, which pointed out some of the things. And one of the big projects that is closing out right now is replacing the roof. And with how hot and humid it is right now, having a nice white roof that's insulated versus the old uninsulated black rubber roof, it's worlds of difference. It's still very warm out in the production area, but it's definitely a lot more.
The windows aren't fogged over the summer,
which is nice. Looking ahead to August, we got the Backyard Barbecue coming back August 17th.
Woot.
That's Saturday. Should be a lot of fun. Get all the neighbors involved, some live music, a lot of fun stuff. And then way down the line, just put it on your calendar now, the anniversary party coming to you September 28th.
Fifth anniversary.
I'm going to try to come to that one.
Big number five. That's the last weekend in September. Saturday, Buckeyes playing Nebraska.
Away.
Kickoff time. Yeah, away. Kickoff time. TBD on that, but we'll be sure to have the game on here on the Beer Garden one way or another, along with a ton of live music and great beer and all kinds of fun stuff. So yeah, just put that on your calendar now, and we'll see you in September.
It's on the calendar. I'm going to stay in the U.S. for that one. I had a little FOMO over the 4th of July on July 3rd, missing out on being here, which I love to do. And Adam, how'd the smoked meats turn out this year?
So this year didn't do the smoked meats because we have our great friends and partners, Ray Ray's here, making meat that...
Well, then I already know the answer. It turned out great.
So I made a Benner family... recipe of a flank steak, marinated flank steak.
Oh, nice.
It was very tasty.
It didn't last too long. I needed to make a little more. And then Chris and Jesse, she grilled up some dogs, some delicious dogs for
nice.
Everyone. So it was good. It was a lot less people down here for Red, White, and Boom this year. Beer Garden ended up being packed, but I think people were scared away overall from the rain.
Yeah, definitely a later crowd.
A lot of rain early,
past,
yeah.
But yeah, it rained a better portion of the afternoon.
But yeah, still
okay.
What are you going to do about that?
Still a good view of the fireworks from the Beer Garden. So it was a great, great party. And,
awesome.
No injuries.
Good band lineup, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bands were all fantastic. So
no fingers were cut this year,
no fingers were cut.
That's
good. After the fireworks, there was a little dance party with... DJ Ender.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And, yeah. I was walking home at that time.
Yeah, probably the biggest dance party we've ever had.
All right, so we're gonna talk a little bit. We've already talked about the history of the style and our specific beer, but Mark's going to go through what maybe makes Pool Party a little different than his experience he just had over in the Czech Republic.
I'm wearing my Pilsner Urquell t-shirt today that I may have acquired at the brewery last week.
It's a good thing you got another beer t-shirt.
I was there. You know, I have very few brewery t-shirts, so I'm always blessed to have one more to add to my closet of 4,000. This is the Pilsner. This was, you know, it's a big mega brewery now, and it is extremely automated and just a whole ton of stainless steel like any brewery would be. But one of the best treats of actually visiting there is from the way they did it in the 1800s. And Pilsner was born in 1842 in Pilsen. That's why it's called the Pilsner.
Is that what they call it, Pilsner?
That's it. That's it. But they had to dig these caves by hand. They didn't have power tools and all that.
They probably had like shovels
and stuff. What about this historical program on the History Channel where they think that maybe aliens did that kind of stuff back in the day?
Aliens brewed the first Pilsner?
You know,
I was getting to that. That's what the aliens did. Yeah, just like the pyramids.
Prove they didn't.
They might have photographs back in 1842. That's around the time. That's around the time that. I think the photograph was invented.
No historical record from 1842.
Just like would swallow a small city amount of caves and tunnels underneath the Pilsner Urquell Brewery, this is where they lagered their beers. They would take ice from local lakes and throw it on a horse and buggy, drive the wagons in, chop up the ice and throw it down a hole and fill this huge, almost half the size of our brewery in the back, full up to the top of the cave with ice, and that would lager the beer over summer. Didn't have that much problem keeping it lagered in the winter, but then they had to pull in the ice at the end of Indiana winter.
So it's also before refrigeration,
the
custom refrigeration.
Yeah, and so they still keep a couple of these tunnels active just for demonstration of the old way of brewing the beer. So going down into those caves, which is just pretty cool in and of itself. And, you know, you smell the rock. It smells like you're in the earth and pretty humid down there. Well, also open fermentation in the old wood barrels. You get to see that going on and the Kreuzen on top of the barrels. Go into the next room and they are pouring you an unfiltered old school Pilsner Urquell right off the wood casks.
It's like a New England Pilsner.
It actually was not very hazy, but man, it was delicious. It just tasted so fresh and, you know, pretty romantic being in the old style ways and, filling out the history. So yeah, it was awesome.
Joan take that tour with you?
Joan did not.
No,
I took
it wasn't that romantic. No.
I took the train, or not actually, the underground to the last stop, took the bus to Pilsen. Spent too long screwing around at the brewery having beers, and then thought I wanted to at least walk through Pilsen, the town proper. Almost missed, like by 10 minutes, I caught the last bus. My phone died, so I didn't have navigation to get there. And I was only 3 minutes late for the Anthrax Slayer concert back in Prague. Not bad. It was a good day out.
Yeah, what a day.
It's a good day out. That's two of the big four, Adam, in case you're counting.
Yeah.
Did Joan go to Anthrax?
Big four thrash metal bands.
I went by myself. And
didn't you go with young Peter?
No, he lives in Austria, so he was not around yet.
Oh. So I know we talked about how these are served different ways.
That's right.
So yeah, we talked about this on the podcast 3 weeks ago, and then we made the joke 2 weeks ago about how you were going to go drink a pint full of foam. Pilsner Urquell, and you have poured me one now, and
how was that experience on Pool Party, Adam?
I was happy when all the foam went away, but I mean, sure.
You know, you can get a big glass of foam at any beer festival.
That's right. We call it here in the U.S.
Just eat a jockey box.
That's all you need. Box beer fest pour, but also it's called Mielko in the Czech Republic, and that is an all-foam pour. It's a bit like dessert. It's kind of something you have after a meal, so it's not too filling, and also as one last crusher at the end of a long pub session, And this is per my new friend in Prague, brewer Artem Starikov. And I want to give him a shout out from Collider Brewery in the Ukraine. That's right.
It's not Ukraine. It's just Ukraine.
It's just Ukraine.
Are there multiple?
No, I heard
this is the Ukraine.
Yeah, just Ukraine. As a Ukrainian, 25% Ukrainian.
Oh, which is okay. Ukraine. Well, you should know.
Ukraine is weak. Ukraine is not weak.
It's not weak.
There's your Seinfeld soundboard.
I come from Ukraine. You not say Ukraine weak.
Yeah, well, we're playing a game here, pal.
Ukraine is game to you. How about I take your little Boris?
He also has a bottle shop in Prague, and I ran into him at a beer fest that I just happened to walk into as soon as I got off the plane, just taking a walk along the river there in Prague. And he and I went drinking one night. I had a couple over.
Who won?
It was a tie, but as far as walking a straight line, I won. He's a little smaller than me.
Yeah.
A couple other old Czech-style beers that are brewed nearby Prague or in Prague that he was really excited to turn me on to. Hostemice, and drank their 10-degree beer, which was 3.5% alcohol. I think we had a 6-crusher of half liters of those. And I think that timed out just over 1 hour. Then we switched to the 12 degree, which was about 5% ABV of Matushka. I'm saying degree, and this is because they just list the starting gravity Play-Doh.
Instead of the ABV.
Instead of the ABV, and oftentimes instead of even having a name. So Kozel, which is also widely available, I think I prefer it over Pilsner Kell. It has not diacetyl, which Pilsner Kell is kind of full of and part of its flavor. They also have Tangnova Pubs. And interesting enough, and you know we got mobile canning here where the canning line comes to your brewery to can your beer. Over there, Pilsner Kell has a big enough canning line that they drive. Like we would see a gas truck go to a gas station. They have tanker trucks full of beer, and Kozel drives their beer over to Pilsner Kell to get it filled in cans.
Oh, that's good.
Which is kind of interesting. Really good beer, though. I actually prefer it over Pilsner Kell, maybe because the diacetyl is gone, but also is widely available in Prague.
You mentioned the Tankovna pubs.
That's right.
And yeah, what are those?
So take that same tanker truck, and you take that beer straight from the brewery. It is delivered within 48 hours to all the pubs in town and just filled up, just like they go around filling up gas tanks.
They got a big serving vessel?
Yeah, it's about the length of the table in the Kickstarter room that we're in right now. And it's just a big pill on its side that they fill with the fresh beer, unpasteurized, so you're getting it as fresh as you'd have it right off the tank in pills. And you can get this in the three ways, the milk hill.
Yeah, what are the other two?
Well,
that you can get there.
The milk pour, as we already talked about. And yes, they do charge a little less for the milk pour, Adam, satisfy your inquiries of past. Also, the snit pour, which is represented on the t-shirt here that I'm wearing.
Yeah, Mark's t-shirt says, I don't give a schnit.
I don't give a schnit.
That's pretty
and
funny.
Actually, I think it says something more positive than that. Or
I give a schnit.
It works either way. And that is 2 parts beer, 3 part foam. And I think that foam just really accentuates the bitterness and aromas of the hops. And then Hladinka, and that is 3 fingers of foam on the top of a 5-liter glass. And then, Adam, as you know, on European glasses, there is the fill line.
Yeah, so that's mandated.
Don't feel like you're getting ripped off because you're getting 3 fingers of foam. And I always feel, even in the U.S., I want a couple fingers of foam on the top of my craft beer.
Yeah, I mean, we pour in a 20-ounce glass, so an imperial pint that you would get in more in your Great Britain style, so you pretty much only want 2 fingers of foam, but a 0.5-liter, that's a lot more beer, so you're going to want that 3 fingers of foam.
You said a 5-liter glass?
Half liter.
Half a liter.
I said 0.5.
0.5, okay. Yeah. Did I say 5 liter?
You did. And I was like, that is corrected. A lot of yeah. beer.
That
and
would
not
be,
a lot of foam more, for that amount
than,
of beer.
That's more than a boot. I think a boot is normally around 2 liters, maybe yeah, 3 liters.
So that would be like a bucket. That
yeah.
would be
yeah, like just like you're like classic German, like Stein is a liter.
Yeah, good correction.
Now, I'll tell you, the Essenhaus in Madison, they did have the boot, which is either 2, 2.5, or 3 liters, I think. They also had big steins once everyone broke the boots that you get from Paulaner. But this is Germany, and we're talking about
that's a lot of beer. In your mind, that's a liter. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. 5 liters would be
that's a lot.
Would be
that's a lot.
A couple
that's
gallons.
A lot. Yeah,
so the treat before it gets warm.
These big tank Govna tanks that are at the pubs, they also have like a bladder inside that's like a plastic lining that. Also, nothing comes in contact with this beer.
Yeah.
The pressure is only to squeeze it out, which we've gotten some kegs that way on some imports historically here at the brewery where you could even do just compressed air in there to force that beer out.
So these Tankovna pubs, are they more like a British pub where it's a tied house, or do they have multiple tanks for multiple breweries?
That's a great question because it's not really a tied house. So you will see if it was, say, a Pilsner or Kell Tankovna pub, you would see, you know, the signage out front that it is a Tankovna pub. It is Pilsner Kell branded on the signs hanging outside. But once you're inside, you can get Pilsner Kell, but they aren't tied houses, which means they could only serve that beer that they're contracted with.
They'll have other beers.
They'll have other beers, yeah.
And they advertise themselves separately from other pubs that they are a Tankovna pub.
That's correct.
Because you can get the beer the different styles, or why?
It's the fresh, unpasteurized beer, and that way you know that. There's also kegs of Pilsner Kell that go everywhere in bottles and cans.
Are there other breweries that do this style of beer delivery?
Kozel.
Kozel also does it. And like I said, that was kind of my preferred style. It's one of the, that was the second Czech Republic beer. I had a Pilsner Kell with lunch that was just draft. It was not at a Technova pub, but it was a restaurant close to my hotel. And I was out just kind of sightseeing on foot, wanted to find a bankomat so I could get some of those Czech crowns so I could go spend crazy. And by the way, as a tourist, so inexpensive for an American to do things in Prague.
What would one of these 5 liter Hladinkas cost?
$1.50.
It's a $1.50.
$1.50.
Wow.
US dollars and
so you can do some damage.
You can do some damage and it's cheap.
Yeah. Now what kind of food do they eat there?
So they have their traditional
Kentucky Fried Chicken. They got
they do unfortunately have that in the tourist areas and McDonald's.
Love
but
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Why is that? I don't know.
It's fried chicken.
Nothing against the Colonel, but hey, I was there to experience like more of their traditional fare.
Oh yeah,
and I've had the KFC before, and it's fine. They're real dumpling heavy, so they've got like three type of dumplings, one of which has potato. They're kind of springy. They make them in a roll, and then they cut them into slices. They do bread the same way. So they got a straight-up bread dumpling, and they have, like, the day-old bread dumpling where they chop up the bread or tear it apart, and then they remake this roll with, like, some eggs so it looks like kind of marbled effect with, like, the outside crust, which they're all great for soaking up this gravy-like sauce that is on, like, roast pork or roast beef. Just tastes like the perfect crock pot day, you know, on a roast. And then always with the white and red cabbage. So they'll have sauerkraut and then also the red cabbage, which I just love it. Still love the fermented sauerkraut as well. But, you know, I like it all.
Yeah. Sauerkraut's a pass for me, but I'm sure I could just get something else.
The red cabbage, though.
I'm into that.
I think you're in. Yeah. So that's probably like the most traditional. Well, how much do you think that big plate of food costs? U.S. dollars, $8.
$8.
I don't think I paid more than $8 other than this fancy Frenchy place we went to, and fortunately, I didn't have to pick up the tab there.
Yeah. So it's like a blend of German and Polish food,
That's right. Yeah, I would say that. It's largely Bavarian-influenced. You know, they have a lot of the same type of dumplings down in Austria, where as you know, I spent a lot of time the second week. Still drinking beer, but not Czech Pilsners. In Austria, they're more about the Helles, the Märzen, and also just off the charts Hefeweizens. Great beer in those regions.
They're not too far from Munich in the
right,
in the
right. There, yeah, so. And there was a time that the land of Bavaria extended a bit into all of those aforementioned
Austria, Hungary,
countries,
the Ottoman Empire, and all that kind of stuff. You know, you know how that is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure,
don't Black need Forest,
Black Forest.
That's always one of those interesting facts about how actually the Ottoman Empire, how long it actually lasted, and how close to recent times that it was.
Just spend too much time kicking their feet up.
Oh, yeah. So, hey, in Austria, I went to Grüner See, which translates as Green Sea.
Ah.
And this is like a snowmelt mountain with a spring that isn't there year-round. Half of the trails were underwater while I was there. It is the clearest and freshest drinking water you can drink. And at one end of...
Who says that? Is that a subjective opinion?
Have you tried all the drinking water?
I'm going to say yes. I proved it. I drank fresh water
from two sources. So this is not like a scientific opinion.
It was my favorite.
Sorry.
I think it's also of the land. They would tell you the same thing.
Sure.
So that's why I visited this lake. Well, at one end of the lake, you have the source, as it would be translated into English. And just want to note that Pilsner Kell translates as the source at Pilsen. So the fountainhead would be a direct translation to English.
Yeah, that's had to do with all the water, right? They got that water.
They got that good water. They're proud of their water.
What's the river name that they get it all from?
That's a great question. It's hard to pronounce. It's got too many consonants in it.
Yeah, that's the thing with that region of Eastern Europe.
A lot of consonants.
Yeah.
A lot of consonants. And that even your Milko.
And what?
M-L-I-K-O. So
yeah,
it's kind of confusing.
I mean,
yeah, it doesn't make sense.
So what is the type of beer that Pilsner Urquell serves?
What?
Svetlý Lezák.
Yeah.
And that translates as light lager.
It's Pilsner.
Yep. So I know that in Czech. What else do I know? Na zdravé.
Nothing.
Na zdravé.
Nothing.
That
cheers.
Translates as nothing. To your health.
No.
This is the way they cheers or prost in...
Which you can see through your headphones.
Raise your glass.
Yeah.
Na zdravé.
Na zdravé.
Clink the glass. Hit the table.
Oh, so it's just like
your
everybody
beer.
Pretty
much. Na zdravé.
Same as everyone else.
It's almost like Russian, right? Isn't that...
It's kind of Russian-esque. They're close to Russian.
Thank you for... the insights and coming back and laying on this. That's something that outside of just beers, the standard brewers about our beers. So that's a great experience that you had over in the Czech Republic.
And guess what else? Without bias, I'm not lying when I said I prefer Pool Party over Pilsner Kell. Sorry, Pat.
Look at that.
Well, we're all on our second pool party in this episode.
Uh-oh,
so.
Crushability is coming up.
Crushability is rising.
We may hit that six before we're done talking.
Yeah, we might get through this today. So, question from a listener. Whoa.
I'm going to paraphrase this because it's got a lot of words in it. But it is from friend of the podcast and brewery, Jeff Pelletier. He was inspired by an email from Homage. They're known to send out an email or two. He said, we were the first people he thought of when they released their Seinfeld t-shirts was us here at the Beers with the Brewers podcast. He's got a two-part question here.
And thanks, Jeff, for thinking of us, because if you buy us three Seinfeld t-shirts, we'll give you three Land-Grant University t-shirts for asking a question.
Yeah. Part one, I would like to know what beer you would associate with some of the LG staff in terms of personality. For example, which beer best exemplifies Mark? Which staff member is most like Sour Hoppy Fun Time? Possibilities and combinations are limitless.
Yeah, there's over 50 people that work here now, so we're not going to go through all of them.
Well, we got the three of us.
That's
Walt,
a lot.
I see you as a greenie, but
no,
you kind of...
I've been thinking about this strictly about myself.
And yeah, personality-based.
I mean, the beer I drink the most of would be Greenskeeper, but probably the beer that's most like me... would be Sports and George, because I get salty pretty often.
And you wear jorts a lot.
Yeah.
That's true.
And you played sports.
Yeah. So I'm going to go
salty
with our 7-Sun collaboration, Sports and George.
And you wear that 7-Sun shirt all the time.
I wear my tie-dye.
With your jorts. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's all coming together.
That's pretty good.
So that's me. Don't forget the saltiness. That's the main
salty
part.
Waltie.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know how this was going to go down. Are you guys, I mean, pick a beer for me, Walt. I don't think I have one.
A beer for Mark.
I mean, obviously the Hellion and Sentinel, only because they're named after Judas Priest songs.
Or what about Goon with the umlaut, the heavy metal?
The heavy metal Goon, Because I'm a goon, I love metal. I'll take it.
I don't know. I still have to go with Pool Party. It's you know, it's the lifestyle. You hear me complaining about the cold weather all the time, even though I live in Ohio. And
it's a good hot weather beer.
And great hot weather beer. I like to be outside as much as I can in the summertime, and get a little bitter at times, I guess.
Look at that. See? And Pool Party is a little bitter.
Yeah.
Not too much, but just right for
Justin
style.
Justin walking through the door right now. And you know what? I would say Justin, if Justin was a land grant beer, I would say he's Pina Pants. Not because he pees his pants, but because he likes a good bad pun. And he's a goofball.
I think he was one that named Pina Pants.
He did also come up with the name Pina
Pants. He also has the follow-up, the Puma Pants.
Puma Pants.
Puma, as in... but unfortunately, Ryan Geist has a beer called Puma. The Puma Pants.
But we mean the tennis shoes and pants.
So we're just violating copyright. Yeah. Explicitly.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take Pina Pants and
so
run
Mark,
with it then.
Mark Richards.
I'll take Heavy Metal Goon. That's a good one. A Gooner.
Gooner. But what you look more like like the guy from Misconduct, though, because of the amount of hair he has.
That's you, though, right? And all the beer characters.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Yeah. Mark, you got the Bonspiel. You're always arguing for those dark beers.
Oh, yeah. Bonspiel's good.
Jeff would
I do. Jeff is Bonspiel incarnate. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Jeff, you're Bonspiel. Oh, he also wanted us to do Seinfeld characters.
What beer is Amber?
Oh, she's a... I mean, and Jeff even mentioned Sour Hoppy Fun Time. I mean, she's not really sour or hoppy, but she is fun. I mean, she's hilarious. I don't know. We need a really sweet beer that is comical. So she could be peeing your pants, too. I mean.
Yeah, that's a tough question.
It's a very, very difficult question.
Yeah, I know.
What about Dan? What's a nice quiet beer that we have?
Dan?
That you really got to like turn up in the microphone.
Oh, yeah. Something subtle. He's subtle, but he's got to be inside zealous. Like, I don't know. Something that's sneaky. Like something that drinks easy but has a lot to offer. Could be Batch 300 the first time I had it because I'm thinking, man, this is so crushable. But then you find out there's a lot more depth to that alcohol.
All right. Well,
hey.
We'll think about it a little more. I know, you sent this in a week and a half ago, but it was a holiday, Jeff. So maybe we can get a little more.
We can prep for next week.
We didn't have a lot of admin time on this Jeff.
We'll add a little more.
What about Seinfeld characters?
And then we got part two. Same question, but what are your favorite Seinfeld characters?
Yeah.
What your Uncle Leo?
Because
you're just old and crazy.
I thought we were associating beers with characters.
I thought it was
But we
could do it the other way.
Yeah, I would see you as Banyan. Because sometimes I hate you.
It's cool.
When you call me Uncle Leo, it makes me hate you. Yeah.
And Walt does love Mindy's. He loves
A nice meal at a place like Mindy's.
Yeah.
Don't get the soup.
But soup's not a meal.
No, it's not a meal.
No, Ben, you know. This is the dinner. The soup counts.
I think soup is a meal. If you're eating with Walt, soup's a meal.
Soup's a meal. Who's Benner?
So I think
Seinfeld
the question
character?
Is, I think the question
is the,
I think
what
the
beer,
question is what is
Seinfeld
the beer
character
is
the
Seinfeld
beer?
Character.
Yeah, I think
I'm
that's
okay
the
that.
Can we just go down the four?
Yeah, I think it depends. So if you go with us and the Seinfeld characters, I have to play the straight man a lot.
Yeah, are you Jerry?
I think I got to be the Jerry.
You're Jerry. Sure. That's fine. That works.
Walt, you get George.
Walt's probably George.
Yeah.
Because the saltiness.
Saltiness. Yeah.
Lauren gets in Elaine.
Elaine, yeah.
Lauren is an
Elaine. I see that. Get
she,
out.
She probably takes
that
as a high compliment.
It's a huge compliment to her.
Everyone wants to be Kramer.
So that means Mark is Kramer.
I'll take Kramer.
Just busting down the door.
I like Kramer.
Who's Newman?
I will.
Ryan Newman. Yeah, yeah, Jeff. That's a good question. I think let's cover the Seinfeld during the Jamble episode.
Yeah,
that's good. Let's do that. Yeah,
yeah.
Because this is hard.
Yeah,
but
this
if we think
tough.
Of any other Land Grant employees that bring out the beer.
There's a lot of there's a lot of employees to think about and a lot of beers to think about. I need a list. I need a list of both.
How about Massive Justin Ryan?
Because he loves
fan,
the crew.
Loves crew.
He's massive.
Massive. Yeah. In his helpfulness.
Yeah. Massive in helpfulness.
Oh, yeah. Hajir Greeny.
That's what I meant.
Workhorse of beers.
Workhorse of beers. Hajir gets Greeny. It was on his application.
Workhorse. He's a workhorse around here.
Yeah. There he passes through right now. Just make sure those kegs are stocked for the tap room.
Concentrate.
I would say Haj is more like quadra hopic because he's into that psychedelic.
It's so
stuff.
Dank.
So dank.
Tony sips. He concentrates. The only kind of beer he drinks.
Yeah.
As he's
I think
mentioned
he's laid
podcast.
Down that torch, but he did say that one time. And exclusively
drinks hazy beers. What's your wife there, Walt? Aaron Keyes.
Dangerous question.
You better get this right if she's listening, by the
she's
way.
She's not.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Doesn't listen to the podcast. Wow.
Well, have to doc, she'll that. Listen to a bunch of them if we're on a road trip or something.
Oh, yeah. And then this will come out and you'll say the wrong beer.
I need a week to think about that.
All right. Hey, take your time.
Take
your time. We're coming back on that Seinfeld one. Jeff, you got like a 2-episode question running here. This is too much. I think we got to cut it off pretty soon here.
I think we're almost all done with these pool parties. Maybe we need to get one more refill, get through that half of a six crusher.
Half a six crusher.
Maybe head to the patio. There are some fans and see how that works out.
Oh, yeah.
And
new fans on the patio. And those will be blowing mist pretty soon, right?
Yeah. Yeah, once we can figure out how
get
to get
hook
some
them
water
up to water.
That.
Yeah.
But yeah, next week, as Walt mentioned, we're going to be talking about Blackberry Jamble. You'll be able to pick that up at the tap room on Friday, and it'll be in stores next week. So you should be able to drink along, which is exciting for a new beer. Be able to drink along while you listen to the episode after we release it. A little more blackberry than last year, which I don't think anyone's going to be upset about.
No, it's really fruity.
Mm-hmm. And we'll touch on some of those new beers, the Lemon Glow, Super Concentrate, and Kin. Mm-hmm. And thanks for listening. As we get into this, is this what they call the dog days of summer, Walt? After
it
4th
is.
Of July,
yeah.
I think this is the dog days of summer.
We are in the thick of it.
Are you sure it's not the wolf days, Walt? Could be the wolf
pretty
days.
Sure. Oh yeah, that's what they call it in Europe.
Your lone wolf
up in the Bavarian Alps.
Yeah, hey, hiking through the woods where every fairy tale had its origin is pretty cool. So
you were the Grimm brothers, the Brothers Grimm.
Yeah, great adventures last week.
We'll just start calling you Rumpelstiltskin then.
Yeah, if you can't make it out to the woods in Bavaria, come on down here to 424 West Town Street. Grab some Ray Rays while you're here from Thursday to Sunday. Get some pool party in ya. Make sure to tip your bartenders. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers, all. And also, as we say, Nazdrave.
Nazdrave.
Yep. Nosferatu.